Let's turn our attention to 1 Peter chapter 5. I'd like to have us look at the first few verses there, read from verses 1 through 6. And let us hear the word of God. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. And not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Thus far ends the reading of God's Word. Tonight I'd like us to look at this passage and appreciate the way in which Peter has put together some very important, significant thoughts for Christians. He begins by giving exhortations to two different groups in this passage. The first of those exhortations is given to the elders of the church. He begins with those who are the leaders of the church, and he speaks very clearly to them as an elder himself, as one who not only is an elder, a fellow elder, but an apostle. And he gives them very clear commands. In fact, you could look through these verses and you could see a very clear concept of what it means to be an elder. Elders are shepherds of the Lord's people. They are overseers as well. They are not lords, but they are to be, in the capacity of shepherds and overseers, they're to be examples to the flock. And in the discharge of these duties, it takes a certain kind of individual to be an elder. An elder, in order to discharge these duties, not only has to be a believer, but he has to be one who has a certain maturity in his faith, and one who is recognized by others to possess certain qualities. To be a shepherd, he has to be ready, always prepared to care for others. There has to be an element in his makeup, a part of his character, in which he desires to take care of others, to take care of their spiritual welfare. He, in the discharge of his duties, he is very much likened unto the good shepherd, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, you think of one who has your best interests at heart. You think of one who isn't going to let you go far astray or to have your life be taken over by the enemy. He's going to be one who's going to he's going to be one who will interpose himself between you and the enemy and protect you. Again, it takes a certain kind of selfless person who will do that. Notice Peter also kind of gets at the attitude that's necessary to be a shepherd when he says you can't do it by compulsion. You can't be forced to be a shepherd of the Lord's people. You have to do it willingly. There has to be a desire to do it willingly, and that comes from knowing God, knowing how much God has shepherded you and cared for you, that you're willing to transfer that to others. You're willing to do that for others. It has nothing to do with power, not as lords. It has nothing to do with prestige, as far as the world's concerned. It has nothing to do with gaining riches, as the world counts riches. But it has everything to do with serving Christ, by serving His people. Now, as Peter presents that image of the elders, as he writes this letter, there are more than just elders reading this letter. Elders will hear what he's having to say, but so will others in the congregation hear what he has to say. And they should be able to look at their elders and see this kind of activity going on and the attitudes that are necessary for this kind of shepherding activity to be going on. And one of the things that Peter turns to in this epistle is he speaks from the elders to those he calls the young people. The young people. And in the case of Peter, he says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Now, the likewise is telling the younger people that they have a model right before them, right in their midst, as to how they are to behave themselves. They have a model for two things: being submissive to others and having humility. And that model is their elders. The elders, in the discharge of their duties, are, even though they are leaders, they themselves are submissive to someone. They are submissive to the Lord Himself. They are under His direction. They do their work for Him, for His glory. They have aligned themselves to be under His leadership, both in terms of what they're doing, but also in terms of their personal habits and their personal activities. Not only are they submissive, but they are also humble. They are humble individuals. And I want to look at that a little bit more, this idea of humility, this evening. And he addresses, as I say, he uses the elders and their activity as the model, and then he encourages the younger people, which, from Peter's perspective, is everybody else in the church. Because everybody else is younger than Peter. He's not really talking here about children. And the word for younger is not children. It's more the word for just younger. So everybody else that he's addressing, he wants them to be submissive to their elders, but also submissive to one another. And this is one of those areas where all of us have struggles. It is not our nature to be submissive to anybody. When you read in the Bible, when it talks about husbands and wives submit unto your husbands as unto the Lord, in the Ephesians 5 passage, many modern day women just chafe at that word. They don't understand that the kind of husbands that are being talked about are the husbands who love their wives as Christ loves the church. Just the word of submissive sends these people into orbit. But Paul didn't begin that discussion with a discussion of women. His discussion actually begins the verse before that, in Ephesians 5:20, where he talks about everyone be submit unto one another. We're all to be submissive to each other in the body of Christ. We're all to be respectful to one another, to put ourselves under the authority of others within the body of Christ, to listen to them, to listen to their ideas and their words of encouragement or their words of teaching. Just as elders submit to Christ, so we submit to elders, and so we are also called to submit to one another. What is necessary to have that kind of attitude for a Christian? Why should we submit to each other? Beside the fact that it's here commanded. Not only commanded here, but as I said before in Ephesians 5:20, Paul commands it as well, as something that's very necessary for the body of Christ. So why should we submit? Well, submission is the other side of having humility. You submit to those that you trust. You submit to those who you believe are going to lead you in the right ways. So people who have a decent track record of doing so, you trust them. You believe that they would not deliberately lead you astray. No shepherd is going to deliberately put his flock in danger. Not only do you have a certain trust that's built, that's grounded in experience and grounded in a certain common path that you're all taking. You're all submitted to Christ. But we also submit because we need to have our own individual pride checked. And one way God has given it for our pride, our natural pride, to be checked is to have others who are our keepers, our watch keepers, those who watch over our souls. God did not, as it were, give to all of us individually all of the gifts necessary, or all the spiritual gifts necessary for life. God gave those gifts to the body of Christ. God gave those gifts of excellence to the entire body. It may be that in our particular church, we won't have one individual who is an excellent Christian writer, for example, who can write with great clarity. But, as it turns out, there are many of those on the broader horizon of the Christian community. That's why books are written. And that's why people listen to other leaders like Francis Schaeffer or the popular one right now, Sproul, R.C. Sproul. Because they have a way of communicating, a way of leading. That's why we look at other ministers, because in their preaching we hear things that are beneficial to us. Not all have the same gifts. But we all need those gifts. We all benefit from those gifts. When everyone has one of the gifts, if we all had all of the gifts to the nth dimension, do you know how difficult we would be with each other? Do you know how difficult it would be not to be proud and arrogant about great spiritual gifts? Can you imagine a scenario in which that was the case? But no, God has made us a body, and He's made us a body in which we are dependent on each other. Dependent. So that even that which may look like the most weak part of the body or the most dishonorable part of the body is still necessary for the body to function. We can't, and that's why he says we need to submit to one another. Because we need whatever it is that God has been teaching that other person. So that when we come together and we perform an exercise like meditating on passages of Scripture and come together in Sunday school and we discuss it, you know, we're all benefiting. We're all learning because everybody contributes. Everybody contributes a piece to our understanding. If we're too proud to admit that we can't learn, or we can only learn from some individual, we can't learn from somebody else. If we're too proud, we're going to miss out on what God is teaching all of His people. You see what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? So there has to be a willingness to submit to one another. There has to be a willingness to in humility, say, I can learn. You know, in God's kingdom, I can learn from my brother or my sister. It doesn't matter how much knowledge I have. It doesn't matter how many degrees I have. It doesn't matter whether I've been to seminary or not. I can learn. I can learn from even children in the church. And I do learn from the children in the church. It's a blessing to learn from them. Out of the mouths of infants, God hath ordained praise. It's great to see that happen. But if I say to myself, I got a seminary degree, who am I to learn from children? You know, that's foolishness. Submit yourself to one another in humility. Learn from one another simply because God hasn't made all of us with the same degree of spiritual understanding. David, when he was a young boy, he had much more understanding than anyone else around him about spiritual things. It was David who went out against Goliath. And when Goliath insulted God's people, it was David who understood that he was insulting God's people. And it was David as a young man who put those stones in the slingshot and slew them at Goliath and brought him down. It was a young boy who did this. He had greater knowledge than and greater commitment to God and understanding than many of his peers, and certainly more than his brothers. So You know, if we're going to walk around and puff ourselves up, we're going to miss what God is trying to encourage us to do here in this passage, which is, which Peter is trying to tell us, to be submissive to one another and to be clothed with humility. For we will not benefit from one another's gifts if we do so. Furthermore, we find out that God actively resists the proud. As verse 5 puts it, he actively resists those who are proud. He puts them to shame. He puts them in situations where their pride gets them into trouble. But he gives grace to the humble. Those who trust in him and trust in his ways and learn from his ways and learn from his people, God gives grace to. More grace, more understanding, more blessing, more joy. We cannot say, and we must not say, that I will not submit to one another. We cannot say that. Not only because it is wrong, it would be a violation of what Peter is telling us to do, but because to say that we can't or we won't would be to deny really the essence of who Jesus is. You think about Jesus. You think about what he came to do. In his work as the Son of God, he submitted himself totally and fully to God his Father. He did not take the road of being proud. If he had, he would not have left heaven. Paul makes that point dramatically in Philippians chapter 2. In the fifth verse and following, he exhorts us. He says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. What mind? What mind are we to have that was in Christ Jesus? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He who was the greatest of all, equal with God, nevertheless made himself of no reputation. He submitted himself to his Father. He humbled himself before his Father. He took upon the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion of men, he humbled himself again and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. Willing submission, willing obedience to God. In God's kingdom is the way of Christ. In God's kingdom it's the way of blessing and exaltation. God exalted him, gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, we as Christians, we must not say that I will not submit to my brother or sister in Christ. I won't submit to my elders who are being godly. It's tantamount to a denial of Christ. Denial of who Christ is and the image that Christ presents to us of one who is supremely submissive, supremely humble before God. The world in which we live constantly associates submissiveness and humility with weakness. But true Christian humility, one that submits to God, is one that has the spiritual welfare of others in mind. John the Baptist speaking of Jesus on the occasion of his first meeting him exhibited true submission and humility when he said about Jesus in John 3 verse 30, "He must increase, but I must decrease." He understood. He understood that it was time for John to get off the scene, and it was time for Jesus to begin his ministry. The humility which submits to each other is the humility that God honors. It's the humility that God sees as good. He honors it. It's good in His eyes because His own Son practiced that kind of humility for everyone to see. In the body of Christ, when we are submissive to one another, that nurtures humility, and humility checks pride. Pride is the way of all men. Pride is what causes division in the body of Christ, or any organization for that matter. Pride, where we want ourselves first, our agendas first, where we're not submitted to anyone, and we're not submitted to God. Eventually, if pride is not checked in the church, pride leads to rebellion. It leads to fracture. It leads to division and great sadness. Pride prevents the role of the church leaders to function appropriately. Because if everyone has pride, then everyone is a rule to themselves. God makes a promise in this passage to all who practice humility. He resists the proud, as we've already spoken of, but He gives grace to the humble. There's the other side of it. He gives grace to the humble, to those who legitimately submit to legitimate authority, who are humble, who seek to build up God's body. God gives even more grace to such people. That is a quote from Isaiah chapter 57. And Isaiah 57 goes on to say, "For thus says the High and Holy One that inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." What God is saying is that when there is submission, God dwells with such people. When there is not submission, there is no contrition. No contrition is no repentance. Without contrition and repentance, God does not dwell with such people. When there is no contrition and no repentance, there is no confession of sin. And without confession of sin, there can be no forgiveness from God. Without true Christian humility, without submission unto God, God will not dwell with such people. But God gives saving grace, and He gives even more grace to those who are truly contrite, truly humble, humbly confessing their sins and their pride and laying them at the feet of Jesus and submitting to Him. And submitting to His word. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility." That's not simply good advice. that is at the very heart of what it means to confess your sins and to live for God. Submit yourself not to one another, but to God. Clothe yourself with humility. Let your pride be cast away and humble yourself before God Himself. And then walk in submission unto Christ, as Christ walked. May God add His blessing to this word. Amen. And let us pray. Merciful God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that in our own lives that You will continue to root out those areas where we are not consistent with You. And Father, remind us that all that we have and all that we are by Your gift, Your great gift in Christ. And the abilities that we have, the blessings that we are given, are also gifts from God the Father. They are not earned. They are not because of our abilities directly, but they are because of Your blessing. And Lord, within the body of Christ, let us all walk together with a mind toward showing one another true Christian humility, being submissive to one another, listening, learning, enjoying, fellowshipping with each other, learning to hear what one another is saying as God has been teaching them. May your body be edified as a result. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.